my name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings and I take notes. Today's notes are from the council meeting on February 5th, 2025. Today's meeting started out with a monthly financial report. Controller Hollins and Finance Director Dubowski both made their respective reports, which included the quarterly investment report. Hollins said that investments are $15 million higher than last year, which he attributes mostly to federal grants after natural disasters. Hollins said the city needs to better financially prepare for these disasters. Quote, while we understand the unpredictable nature of these storms, we continue to fall short in preparing, end quote. He referenced the uncertainty of federal funds and encouraged self-reliance. Hollins urged attention to Houston's aging infrastructure system, which is hemorrhaging more than 30 billion gallons of water each year, end quote. He said the city's projected fund balance for the end of this fiscal year is $350 million, while the general fund is operating at a structural deficit of more than $200 million, and credit rating agencies are taking note. On Friday, the Texas Supreme Court ruled that Houston must pay $100 million more annually into the Dedicated Drainage and Street Renewal Fund, or the DDSRF. Kyle's meowing. Okay, the DDSRF stands for Dedicated Drainage and Street Renewal Fund. This is a complicated lawsuit that's going back to 2019. I don't have the time or mental energy to get all into it, but on the resource slide in the final section of the website, you can find a link to a Chronicle article that will get you started on that lawsuit journey. Holland said, we knew that this was possible, but preparations were not made. And he said, this is not rhetoric, this is reality. He warned the situation is dire enough that he might not be able to certify the next annual budget. Hollins recommended a joint emergency task force to come up with options. He suggested asking the plaintiffs in the drainage lawsuit to negotiate a phase-in of these costs over time. Director Dubowski was less doom and gloom. She said the state of Texas is reimbursing Houston for nearly all money spent on storm-related debris collection in 2024. She agreed that Houston does need to refill its budget stabilization fund, but that task is easier now that relations with the state government are better. Responding to Hollins regarding federal funding uncertainty, Dubowski pointed out that FEMA is not included on Trump's list of aid to be reviewed and that he unfroze federal funding already. She did not seem concerned about future financial support from the federal government. Regarding the drainage lawsuit, Dubowski said this lawsuit has been ongoing since 2019 and did not come out of left field. She pointed to Metro assuming $50 million in costs the city formerly used for HPD and traffic signals as a way to ease financial strain on the city. She foresees more collaborations like this in the future to make up for that extra $100 million the city is required to set aside for the DDSRF. Councilmember Alcorn asked the legal department about a potential loophole in the revenue cap to offset that $100 million, and Attorney Michelle said they're looking into it. When Alcorn asked for clarification on the budget surplus, Controller Hollins pointed out that the $50 million for Metro that Director Dubowski mentioned is already baked into the budget and should not be considered as offsetting the lawsuit money. And Dubowski took issue with this. She said the Metro funding was not an accident. Quote, we started collaborating with Metro to bring this money in because we knew this judgment was out there. We know we have a structural deficit and we are proactively working on getting as many dollars in the door as we can. End quote. Councilmember Kamen asked if the city will be required to pay the extra $100 million this fiscal year or if it will start next fiscal year. Attorney Michelle said that technically it's due June 31st, which is this fiscal year, but they're trying to get it deferred. Kamen clarified that because of Friday's drainage lawsuit ruling, Houston's structural deficit will grow from about $230 million to over $300 million, and Director Dubowski agreed. Councilmember Davis asked some rather rambling and confusing questions and ultimately implied the city has mishandled the DDSRF, which is the fund receiving the lawsuit-related payments. Councilmember Alcorn took umbrage with Davis's implications and asserted that the city has not been misusing the DDSRF. She explained that the lawsuit is mainly about how much of the city-collected tax should be paid into the DDSRF, not what the DDSRF is used for. Mayor Whitmire said this lawsuit has been going on since 2019, so it's not a surprise. He said, most of us support the premise of the lawsuit that we need to spend more money on roads and drainage. The real disappointing point was and is that it was not addressed and negotiated when it was filed, end quote. He criticized Controller Hollins for sounding the alarm without offering any solutions. Whitmire said he remembers the last mayor saying this lawsuit is the next administration's problem, which is true. Mayor Turner did say that. I remember it clearly. Now we will move on to the mayor's report. Mayor Whitmire shared condolences for Prince Karim al-Husseini, the Aga Khan IV, the spiritual leader of Ismaili Muslims. Councilmember Kamen also shared condolences for the Aga Khan and praised his philanthropy. She then shared information on the Real Abilities Film and Art Festival taking place February 4th through the 28th. Now I'm going to go over some of the agenda items. These are ones that were either discussed at the meeting or that caught my eye when I scanned the agenda afterwards. Item 4 approved $5.8 million over 5 years on furniture for various departments. Item 8 approved $278,000 for pedestrian LED walk signs. Item 10 approved $12,000 for pedestrian push buttons for those walk signs. And item 15 approved a further $11,000 for pedestrian push buttons. Item 17 approved $78,000 for traffic signal repair. Item 20 approved $1.7 million over 5 years for Comcast cable television at various departments. Item 23 approved paying $166,000 to Montgomery County for the November 2023 election services. Councilmember Flickinger supported this payment, but he complained that it came out to about $1,000 per voter. He suggested that District E voters are happy to drive a little further to vote if it means saving the city money. Mayor Whitmire agreed that $1,000 per voter was excessive. Item 24 approved $2.5 million that will partially fund Boulevard 61, which is an affordable apartment complex in District J. Item 28 approved $61 million for taxiway repair at George Bush Intercontinental Airport. Items 39 through 42 approved funding and contract extensions for various HIV and AIDS-related programs at several different organizations. Councilmember Castillo said, quote, when there are questions and uncertainty around federal funding, it's important that we support these items and get these dollars to groups that are going to do good work across the city in the public health space, end quote. Item 44 approved an agreement between the city and Union Pacific to remove railroad tracks along Commerce Street from St. Charles to Velasco. Both Union Pacific and the city will perform the work, but the railroad is responsible for 100% of the costs and will reimburse the city for their work done. Councilmember Castillo explained that this is step one in the revitalization of Commerce Street. Item 62 approved a new city council schedule, adding 5 more break weeks to the calendar. Councilmembers Pollard and Ramirez voted no, but the item still passed. You can see the 2025 calendar on the city website. It's houstontx.gov/citysec/calendar. The link is on the website. Now I'll go over the councilmember pop-off section, which is when councilmembers get to talk about whatever they like. Councilmember Ramirez said the city needs an additional $70 million each year to enact the new homelessness plan. He encouraged individuals to donate via the Coalition for the Homeless and The Way Home. Councilmember Castix Tatum said a Channel 2 news piece last week reminded her about the city's donation box ordinance. Donation boxes must be permitted and have the permission of the property owner where they are located. People can report unpermitted donation boxes to 311, and you will know that a donation box is permitted because it will have a yellow or orange permit displayed on the outside of it. Councilmember Peck plugged a public safety committee meeting on February 11th and a coffee with a council member and cops event on February 13th. Councilmember Martinez thanked HPD for keeping people safe at the protest on Sunday. He offered condolences for 2 Milby High School students who passed away recently and extended general support as needed. He plugged a design workshop for 7811 Harrisburg on February 8th at 10 a.m. at the Magnolia Multi-Service Center. Councilmember Pollard referenced a letter from the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development that says the Texas General Land Office discriminated against people of color when they distributed federal funding after Hurricane Harvey. He asked the city legal department if the city plans to take action, and Attorney Michelle said that they have to wait to see what the federal government does because if the federal government takes action, then the city cannot. Mayor Whitmire pointed out that a new administration has taken office since that letter was sent, but that his office will be keeping an eye on everything and taking necessary action. Councilmember Evan Shabazz wished everyone a happy Black History Month. She congratulated Beyonce on her Grammy wins. Councilmember Castillo initiated a moment of silence on the passing of Katie Wood and Tanya DuBose. District H has many pet-related events planned for the month of February, and he is hosting a town hall this Saturday, February 8th at Bella Vista Baptist Church from 10 to 12, which will include an update from the Houston Housing Authority on Independent Heights Phase 2. Councilmember Flickinger plugged a median cleanup in Kingwood on February 22nd and an electronics recycling event this Saturday, February 8th at Ellington Field. Councilmember Kamen wished everyone a happy Black History Month and said every day is Black History. She thanked Restaurant Depot for working with her office and curtailing the car meetups happening there. Her office is hosting an electronics recycling event on February 15th at All Saints Church. She also complained about TxDOT's unsecured construction equipment causing the destruction of the MKT bridge, and she asked for the mayor's help getting TxDOT to commit to properly securing their equipment to prevent future accidents like that. And that concludes my notes for the Houston City Council meeting on February 5th, 2025. You can find the resources I used to compile these notes on my website, which is emilytakesnotes.com. And that's also where the notes themselves live if you decide you would rather read. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. We use that money to keep the podcast edition of the notes afloat. That link is patreon.com/emilytakesnotes, and if anyone listening would like to join that cool team of people that helped make this project happen, we would really appreciate it. This podcast was recorded by, and it has music by, Joe Wozni, and it was produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I am Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.